It's the Dork Podcast. It's the Dork Podcast.
Rich Keith.
It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. It's officially Dorktober. Once again, I'm your host, Rich Keefe. Joining me once again, Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
I'm just great. Happy Dorktober, everybody.
Yes, use the hashtag. Hashtag Dorktober. You can play along all month long. And today we're going to be giving you the best horror movies you've never seen, part two. We did part one, I guess unbeknownst to us, we did it last year. And we'll get to what some of those ones were going forward. But again, a lot of horror movie stuff this month. It's not going to be entirely horror movie stuff. We're going to be doing some other TV show stuff. Have you got any Luke Cage in you yet?
I got a little Luke Cage in me. I got like 3 or 4 episodes in on it right now. I'm plugging away at it.
I watched it in one weekend.
Yeah, you did.
Unreal. Well, let's get to that and some other things in this week in Hashtag Dork. It's, of course, brought to you by the fine folks over at Mac and Goo. No read. They actually brought their own commercial this time. Have a listen.
Oh, God.
Hello, boys and ghouls. I hope you're ready for a truly terrifying time with this truly gruesome twosome. Talking about spooky, horrifying, demonic stories of the macabre and sports. So check under the bed. Make sure the doors are locked and turn off the lights at your own risk. For you never know what terror lurks or who creeps around the corner.
Sup, gang? Sarge here. Subscribe on iTunes or get all the audio you can eat on macandgoo.com.
There you go.
Hey!
They were doing pretty well. I don't know why they needed to bring Sarge into it, because they were doing pretty well on their own. I really enjoyed the macabre. But there you go. Nice
macabre.
Nice little spot there from the folks over at Mac and Goo, who I believe next week I'll be joining them for a horror movie edition of Mac and Goo. So get in there on that. All right, so the first thing in this week in Hashtag Dork, of course, would be Luke Cage, which I'm not going to give you any spoilers now, but I loved it. Through 3 episodes or so, Davey, how do you feel compared to, say, some of the other Netflix series?
You know, I like it only because of the realism in it. You know, they don't get in too much into what I've seen so far, and hopefully we have some people who are what I've seen so far, is it's not your typical superhero thing. It's more Jessica Jones than it is Daredevil.
Yeah, it's real. Like, this could be like a drama. Like, yeah, the guy does have superpowers, but it's, you know, very street level. Not, hey, these guys are trying to take over the Earth and all the galaxies. Like,
right.
Not
well, even like close. I like that it's much smaller scale, obviously, being TV, being Netflix. And like you said, I think it's much more real. Like, it's a great story. It's a great, great plot. The guy just happens to be a superhero.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. Characters are great, and you know you're going to get into some more of them as you go along. So sometime this month, I know a few people have already asked us about Luke Cage. We'll definitely get to that. Also, in the Netflix universe, it was announced today that Iron Fist is set for March 17th. So
they moved that up.
Less than 6 months away till Iron Fist, and I guess they're also already filming The Punisher. How about that?
So we get a lot of stuff in the pipe.
There's a lot, and then there's going to be The Defenders. There's going to be season 3 of Daredevil, season 2 of Jessica Jones. I'm going to assume there's going to be a season 2 of Luke Cage. I mean, all of these things have gotten really good reviews. So,
yes.
I mean, people want to see them, so I think they're going to keep pumping those things out. But yeah, Iron Fist, what do you feel about Iron Fist just overall as a character?
It's one of those ones that you're kind of tangentially familiar with. Like, I know him because he was in this. Like, I don't go out of my way to read Iron Fist comics, and a lot of people have told me that I should. I feel like Iron Fist has like this very unique fan base.
Yeah.
That we are not a part of, that we probably should be. But the people who like Iron Fist are like dead set. They're like, this is like the greatest thing ever.
This guy's the man. Yeah, well, it's funny because one of our new mottos now is, you know, you can't watch everything. In a similar vein, you can't read everything. But
not going to miss the TV show, but I have missed comics throughout 30 years of comic book reading.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I remember, like, you know, really getting into comics in the 90s, and it was always Luke Cage or Power Man and Iron Fist. Like, you remember their team-ups, and you remember some of that stuff. But, like, individual Iron Fist books, I'm not very familiar. So I'm going to learn a lot from the show, I'm guessing.
Yes. Or maybe we'll do that thing where we cram like a week before the show and pretend like we know what we're talking about.
That's not a bad idea. We'll get like the must-read Iron Fists, and then we'll fist them together. The Flash and Arrow are back this week. I'm excited to see what they do with the Flashpoint storyline, because if all these bad boys are in the same universe, they should really all be affected. So
yes,
we're gonna find out about that. Did you check out Ash vs. Evil Dead season 2 episode 1 yet?
I have not, and because I was watching Luke Cage and Mr. Robot.
Oh yeah, right.
I'm telling you, man, we are. I dug myself a hole this summer with being a Family Guy. I totally dug myself a hole.
Yeah, it's funny. I feel like my friends that, you know, like myself, don't have kids, were pretty much caught up, and all my friends who have kids, less so. And I'm trying to figure out why. I'm like, what the hell? What's?
Yeah, you don't get it. It's like weird. I have the thing called free time. But I find little pockets of time, and luckily my wife is good enough to, you know, sit down and, you know, indulge me a little bit. You know, if I have to watch Real Housewives, you have to watch this kind of thing. You
right.
know what I mean?
Exactly. And then she also...
Little Women LA, which I love. It's a guilty pleasure of mine. I love it.
Little Women LA. Billy, you're the second straight co-host that's mentioned Little Women LA. Lanny was
on
last week talking about... we did a South Park episode, and he was talking about Little Women LA.
Oh, you can fit them in your pocket, and they are sassy as the day is long.
Maybe we'll check that. I'll be honest. I'm not going to. There's too much
on my
plate.
Yeah. You're not
going to. I'm also watching South Park. I'm watching Son of Zorn. I'm watching Last Man on Earth.
Son of Zorn was great. That pilot was great, by the way.
It's good. I'm like three episodes into that now.
Yeah. Pilot, it was great.
The Exorcist is not bad through two episodes. It's not, I'm not going to tell you to run out and see it, but I think if you're, for some of the Dorktober fans looking for like a horror movie show, that's pretty good. Westworld. I dipped my toes into Westworld and I'm in.
Yeah, I'm in.
I mean, I didn't see the movie. It was like in the 70s it came out, but Michael Crichton, who wrote Jurassic Park, wrote this. Very kind of sci-fi. It's almost like Jurassic Park, but with people. I don't want to give away too much of it, but it's awesome. Yeah, at least
and
one episode.
One of those things, I was very weary of it because Michael Crichton also wrote Congo.
Right.
Which we all know how that movie turned out.
Yeah, good point.
Amy, bad, gorilla, good, gorilla. You remember that?
I do.
Chestnut.
Yeah, it was not good. Quite a cast it's got, though, in this bad boy.
Cast. Yeah.
Evan Rachel Wood, big fan.
Yep.
Ed Harris, James Marsden. Yeah. Love James Marsden.
Yeah.
Handsome.
What a dreamboat.
Handsome son of a gun.
Yeah.
Anthony Hopkins. You ever heard of him?
I've heard of him.
Some heavy hitters on Westworld. So I'm in on that. And we'll see how it goes. Like I thought we were going to do a standalone episode on Mr. Robot, but after the season came to an end, I don't think so. I think maybe we'll get to it in the best of the year stuff, but we have too much other stuff to talk about. I don't think.
It's too much. We got so much stuff in the pipe. I'm throwing out ideas to you over the phone, and you're like, can't do it. Got too much stuff to do.
I like it, though. I'm going to write that down. That was a good one.
Write that down. Don't spoil it yet, but it was a good idea, folks.
It's a great idea. I think we'll get to it, but there's too much crap. Like so Westworld, after one episode, it feels like one that would warrant a standalone episode, but if it ends up kind of going to the crapper, then the answer is no.
Yeah, remember that show that HBO did, John from Cincinnati? Well, that started off hot, and then it just died.
Yeah, I never saw that. I've heard of it.
It's terrible. Yeah. It's terrible.
Yeah, well.
So I have this week in Dork News for all you Marvel movie fans out there, just so you know that Spider-Man Homecoming has officially wrapped.
Yes.
Filming has wrapped on that, so we are in post-production. We're in production now. So
we're like, what, half a year away from that, Bad? Was that in May?
I think it's in May.
Man.
Yeah, close to summer.
Jeepers, so. Crud.
Yeah, filming's done. We're complete there.
That's going to be is that the one you're looking forward to the most?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep, very much so.
Yeah, that should be pretty sweet. I got a question for you, because I brought this up, because this game came out a couple of weeks ago, but you weren't on the podcast to ask you. I know you've played the Batman Telltale game.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
it's only
episode 2.
It's $30, right?
It's $30, and you get, I think it's like six or seven or eight. It's between 6 and 8 episodes.
Okay.
So now, it's like a normal Telltale game, but it's Batman.
Is it worth it?
Yes.
Okay.
It's an interesting take on Batman. It's standalone, so it doesn't deal with – it's its own thing,
yep.
You know, which I think is good. So it's a relative – I'll give you the spiel. I'll give you the pitch.
Yeah, please.
It's a relatively new Batman who is – as soon as you come in, he's contributing to the campaign of Harvey Dent. He meets a new figure on the scene called Catwoman, who he, you know, they just meet each other in the first episode. Carmine Falcone is a major fixture in the first episode, as well as the young man who has just returned home from a long absence, Mr. Oswald Cobblepot.
Oh, boy. All the heavy hitters.
Yeah, and it's I won't give any plot points away, but Batman, Bruce Wayne, goes through a very strange thing.
Okay.
Finding out the history of his family.
It's
actually very interesting. I won't give too much away, but that should intrigue you to play it.
Yeah, I think so. And because right now I'm ping-ponging back and forth between Overwatch and NHL 17. But,
Aren't we all?
Right? But I think I have time. I could probably squeeze that one into the rotation.
Each episode is like 2 hours, which is cool. And then
and there's six or eight of them, you said?
That's pretty good.
All right.
Yeah, the problem is, though, you get done. And the cool thing about Telltale Games and the cool thing about this game is you're just as much Bruce Wayne as you are Batman.
Yeah, that's neat.
So that's actually kind of cool. And there's one scene where, I'm not going to tell you what it is, but you can actually pick to go confront somebody as Bruce Wayne or as Batman.
Oh, no shit. So that's very different.
Yeah, so it's like a choose-your-own-adventure book, so you can actually like go back and play it again.
Yeah, I like that.
The opposite, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So it's actually pretty fun.
I think you've convinced me.
Yeah.
It's Batman, so I'm surprised I didn't get it already, but yeah, now...
Yeah, you should get it.
Now I'm convinced. You have anything else for this week in Hashtag Dork?
Big congratulations to the European team Misfits for winning the Overwatch Open, the Grand Opening.
Oh, I missed that. Were you watching that?
I did watch it. It was on TBS, and it was great.
Was it crazy?
It was nuts.
I bet they're so good. I played against a guy today that I thought belonged in that. Like, it just killed me every single time.
Well, one of the things that I'm fascinated by, and like when we talk with Wesley B from the Boxers podcast and a couple other guys, and I just wanted to mention the Boxers podcast because I think they're doing a pretty good job.
I mean, we plug enough podcasts on the show, we might as well just keep plugging more podcasts.
Boxers podcast, go listen to it. If you're a big Red Box person, listen to it. But one of the things that I saw when we play together, like we talk and we communicate, like comboing ultimates.
Yeah, that's
unbelievable.
Yeah,
unbelievable when you can combo like when Zarya has like the Graviton Surge.
Yeah,
with like a Death Blossom or with like High Noon.
Yeah, like, it takes the game to a whole nother level.
Devastating, like and how they do it so well, you know.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Yeah. So that was cool. So congratulations to Misfits. Follow us on Twitter. By the way,
nice.
I think they do. So.
Well, you guys can follow us as well at Dork Podcast.
There you go.
Get in there for all the. Right now, we're doing horror movie of the day. How about that?
Let's do it.
There's a different horror movie every single day, and a lot of it involves artwork, courtesy of Goo.
Equally as horrifying as the movies themselves.
Exactly, my face on maybe a famous image from one of your favorite horror tales. So there you go. There's this week in Hashtag Dork. Let's move on to best horror movies you've never seen. Part 2. Now, if you missed Part 1 or you want a refresher, you can go back in the archives. It's episode 21. So it was almost a year ago to the day, probably, that we did it.
Wow.
Here's a quick rundown of what the movies were. But again, if you want more in-depth conversation, just jump back into that episode. It's still available on the iTunes and Google Play. We started out with Session 9, which is maybe the best as far as people who've seen a lot of horror movies. That's a great one. That's also where we get our running asbestos gag joke.
Yes.
Came from that one. Alice, Sweet Alice was on the list. That's an old one from the 70s. The Babadook, that was a Netflix joint that we saw. The Vanishing, which is one of these, it was a foreign movie, and then they redid it in America. Both are pretty good, but the foreign one, like in all these cases, is better. Davies, Stephen King's The Night Flyer.
Give it a shot. I'll watch that movie. If it comes on, I'm watching it.
I've not seen it. We have had a couple people email us that said they did watch it, and they didn't really say what they thought about it. They just said they watched it. So we'll leave it at that.
It affected them so deeply.
Yeah, they were like, "This is pretty strong." Let the Right One In, which was again, it was the foreign one, which is amazing, and then Let Me In, it was an American one, which is still pretty good. Do I have that wrong? Is it vice versa? No, I think that's right.
No, you're right. You hit that. Yeah.
Dog Soldiers, that was Davey's pick for like a werewolf movie.
Yep.
Inside, which is just, you're going to have a terrible time watching that, but some people like that. Creep, which I watched off of Davey's recommendation, also on Netflix. That was a great one. That was
a good one, right?
That was an original kind of weird-ass movie. Then I also had Audition, the Japanese movie, and Feast.
Which I watched on your recommendation. That was, woof.
Messed up too, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That is out there. Then the last one was Feast, which was that Project Greenlight show back in the day. They actually, that was the movie that they made. All right, so, Davey, why don't you, we'll go back and forth here for part two. So why don't you take it away with your first pick?
Okay, so the first one I have is actually Funny Games.
I'm Paul. We're going to make a bet now. You bet that you'll be alive tomorrow at 9 o'clock, and we bet that you'll be dead. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, catch the tiger by the toe. If he hollers, let him go. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
Hey, now.
Hey. Okay, so this is the keeping with The Vanishing and keeping with, what was the other one? Let the Right One In.
Yeah.
This was a foreign movie that was made into an American movie. So it was 10 years apart. So it was 97 and 2007. The great thing about this is that they both had the same director. So it was basically a shot-for-shot
remake
of the movie, but it's just in English.
Got it.
And starring Michael Pitt from Boardwalk Empire.
Yes, my wife will want to watch this because she was quite a fan of him in Boardwalk.
Yeah, so I can't think of his name. Roth.
Well, I got you.
Tim Roth and Naomi Watts.
Yeah, Naomi Watts looks pretty good in there.
And the whole point of this movie, it's just so unsettling. Like the very first scene. All right, I'm just going to set the first scene. It's this family driving. It's Tim Roth, Naomi Watts, and their little son, and they're driving in a car, and they're playing this classical music. And they're like, all right, you know, see if you can guess what this next one is. And he puts in a CD, and it's just like the most hardcore, like, punk music you've ever heard.
Really?
And it just completely catches you off guard. So the whole movie is just to be like, I'm sorry, I'm going to use strong, just to fuck with you. Like, the whole movie, that's all it is. And so they go on this vacation, and these two kids, Peter and Paul, show up at their door. And there's like this really weird scene with eggs that you'll just see it.
Yep.
And it's just very disturbing. And the whole thing, they just mess with them the whole time. And they play games with them and see if they can make it until 9 o'clock in the morning the next day.
Now, when I just watched, you know, because when you told me about that one, I've not seen this one. I'm surprised I haven't because it seems like right up my alley. And I just watched the trailer, and that's where that clip that we just played is from the trailer. It feels very Clockwork Orangey to me.
It has that feel to it.
Okay.
It also, I mean, you read people's take on it, and it's a musing on contemporary violence in the media and contemporary violence and things like that. But it's you run the gamut of all these emotions. Like you feel sad at some point, and then you're like pissed. You're actually mad at the movie at one point.
Oh God. Yeah.
Like the bad guys will like break the fourth wall, and you're like, come on. You know, like one of those. It's just the movie is made just to make you uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like
okay.
That's the whole point of it. And it's messed up at the same time.
And the way you said it, you can watch the American version's fine, right? Like it's pretty close to the same.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's great. They're the same, literally the same movie, just one's in English.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I'll have to check that one out. I don't know if it's on Netflix or not.
So I won't spoil the ending. That's one of those, you don't want to spoil the ending either, but.
No, don't.
All right. What do you got next?
Next one I got is The Descent.
Sarah,
but
she saw someone back
so
there.
So what?
I don't think I saw someone. I saw someone.
No,
you heard something and you saw what you wanted to see. It's the dark. It plays tricks on people.
Now, this one's got a pretty good cult following now, I think, at this point. So a lot of horror movie fans probably have seen it, but maybe it slipped through the cracks for you because it doesn't get mentioned in, like, the most famous horror movies. But this is an all-female cast. They get together, you know, something had happened, there's a reason for them all to get together. They decide to go, like, cave spelunking, or whatever the hell you do inside of a cave.
Yeah.
And let's just say the combination of the claustrophobia and maybe they're not alone in said cave, like, it combines for a really good and, like, unique horror movie. Like, some of the scenes where they're, like, kind of getting stuck a little bit and then... you know, not to give anything away, but like they get split up a little bit and they kind of then, you know, tensions start to rise within the group. And then, like I said, maybe there's something else involved something else living in the cave. I thought it was really well done. It's a little bit of a slow burn at first because, you know, you got to get introduced to all the characters. They're all together. You know, it's not really a horror movie for like a little bit, but then it really starts to pick up once they get inside the cave.
And I will warn anybody listening that if you ever seen Kill Bill Volume 2 and you get a slight panic attack with the scenes with her in the coffin,
Oh, yeah.
Don't watch this movie.
No, this is
like, I watched them both, and I was, like, having, like, heart palpitations the entire time I was watching this movie, because I just don't deal well with watching people be claustrophobic.
No,
or being, like, in tight spaces myself. I hate it.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And I think the director, if I'm correct here, also did Dog Soldiers, which we just mentioned was on your list.
That's why I wound up seeing it, because I really liked Dog Soldiers.
Yeah, so he also does a British guy, and so I would definitely highly recommend that one. That, you know, it gets really good ratings and things like that. That was one maybe a handful of years ago when I was doing the same kind of search that maybe people listening to this are. They're like, all right, I've seen Halloween, I've seen Psycho, I've seen Silence of the Lambs. Like, give me something else. And this was one that popped up, and I was like, this is pretty damn good. So give me The Descent.
And it's one of those ones, like you said, it kind of slipped under the radar. I think it came out one weekend when there was like some big blockbuster came out, and it just kind of slipped.
Probably. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it came out in 2005, so it's been out for a little while. And then, I remember getting the DVD like whenever, like 10 years ago or whatever it was. All right, what else you got?
I got next one, Drag Me to Hell.
Another extension is out of the question.
Where will I live?
I'm really sorry.
Never have I begged for anything. But now, I humble myself before you.
I beg you.
Please let go.
Security! You shame me.
Yeef.
Hey. All right, so if you haven't seen this one, by the way, this is a Sam Raimi horror movie.
Yes.
After he did some Spider-Mans, so it was a movie you might have heard of, Spider-Man.
Spider-Man 1, 2. 3.
And maybe a couple other horror movies you might have heard of, Evil Dead, Army of Darkness, Evil Dead 2, some stuff you might have heard of.
I've seen them.
This was actually, this came out with like very little fanfare.
Yeah.
Like people in horror circles kind of knew about it. I saw it, pop up on like movie sites and stuff that Sam Raimi was going to do another horror movie. And this is what came out, and I was kind of, you kind of get the sense that it's going to be a little bit hokey, which this one is. He does like those, those crazy zoom shots that he does and stuff.
Yes.
When like focusing on people's faces, like it's very Sam Raimi movie.
Yep.
Which is great, just with a bigger budget. Alison Lohman, Justin Long are in this, and this creepy Romanian gypsy woman who puts a curse on her for not extending her bank loan.
Yeah, that's what you just heard there. That was at the bank, and she looks crazy, and then she's like asking her. But like, and the thing too is the girl wants to give her the loan, but she's also like going for a promotion, and she has to be harder on people. She can't just be giving money to everybody, so that's why she.
Yeah, exactly. So she wants to be nice to her, and the woman curses her.
Yep.
That demons will follow her, and it sounds really stupid. It's you conjure up image of the movie Thinner.
Yeah. Yep.
Which you think this is going to be stupid, but it's actually like really, if you like Sam Raimi movies, if you like that kind of like jump scare horror movie, like this is exactly what you want. And I will say, one more thing about this before, because we know we got to move on, but there is a talking goat during a seance. So there's that. If you're into that, if you're into goats talking.
Yeah. I mean, who amongst us is not into talking goats?
Yeah.
Whether it be Jim Brewer or Adam Sandler or whoever else it may be.
It's not Goat Boy.
No, this...
it's close enough.
It's an actual goat.
It's Boy Goat. It's Boy Goat.
Yeah, this one I think
Goat Boy.
Right. It's just Goat. This one I thought was very, like, if you like Sam Raimi type stuff. Like, if you are a huge fan of Evil Dead, then you'll like this. Because there are some weird stuff. There's some of the classic Sam Raimi tropes, I guess, that you were just talking about. And so that could sort of turn off some viewers, because like you might be watching it, and like with any horror film, you do have to sort of let your imagination run wild a little bit. But there might be stuff that looks kind of like, oh yeah, this could happen. Then you're like, well, what the hell? Like there's there's stuff like that in it.
No way that there's that much blood in one human body.
Right. Right. So there's all that as well. But I think it did. I was looking it up. I think. Like the Scream Awards and like the Saturn Awards and like things like that really look at like horror and sci-fi. I think it got honored there as like best of the year and stuff like that. So
yeah, good movie.
That was one. Yeah, not too bad at all. This next one, I would say horror, maybe thriller, maybe some other categories you'd put it under. But friend of the podcast, Kevin Smith, he liked a tweet one time.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah, he wrote and directed this movie back in 2011, Red State.
We are come family.
Good evening.
Good evening, Grandpa.
I hate the wickedness in America.
rampant fornication, adultery, abortion, flagrant sexuality. Everywhere.
Will somebody please let me out of here?
And it's up to the righteous to curb the spread of his disease. Do you mind taking children out now? Gonna get grown up in here.
Send the sim straight to hell. Send the sim straight to hell.
God doesn't love you. Let's fear him.
Oh boy! So that
sounds intense.
That's also from the trailer. So Red State, that's the, you know, the guy that you heard kind of talking or preaching a little bit. It's, I don't think it's technically the Westboro Baptist Church, but just think that way. Like, that's kind of what it is. And they get some of these kids, and then they're kind of like trapped there, and it's them trying to escape out of there. Plus John Goodman is in this, and John Goodman's always terrific. He's awesome, and he plays like a I think they call it, what is it, an ATF agent? You know, yeah. You know, he's one of those things, but he's on, you know, he's a good guy in this, and he's trying to figure out what's going on with these guys. They know they're sitting on a ton of guns. So, I mean, it's kind of a horror movie, but it's also like, I don't even know what else you would call it, like a thriller or just like a drama action film. Like, there's like action scenes in this as well. So it's a little bit different than your typical like monster movie or anything like that, but I don't know if you've seen it, Davey, but it was also kind of unsettling, like some of the ones that we've already had, and I thought it was pretty good. Like, I don't think it necessarily, like, I think it might be for like a niche audience, because I don't think it got great reviews, but I thought it was pretty enjoyable.
And you know, I have not seen this, and
okay,
with the only reason that, you know, friend of the podcast Kevin Smith has had some, when he's done well he's done really well, and when he hasn't done well,
that's,
have you ever seen that movie, Tusk?
Yeah, I did not see Tusk. I wanted to.
Good.
It was
no, don't.
Okay.
Don't.
Sorry, Kevin.
So, yeah, I mean, you look dashing in your hockey jersey, but
yes, he does.
Just in your Edmonton Oilers jersey, but please, just okay.
Now, Kevin Smith, just win loss it for me. Ready? We just go win or loss. Clerks.
Okay. Win.
Mallrats.
Win.
Chasing Amy.
Tie.
Dogma.
Win.
Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Win.
Jersey Girl.
Loss.
Clerks 2.
Loss.
Zach and Miri Make a Porno.
Win, actually.
Cop Out.
Loss.
Red State, I'll say a win. I know you haven't seen it. Tusk.
Yeah. Loss.
You just gave it a loss. Holidays?
No, I lost.
I have not seen Holidays.
No.
It's a horror movie, though. Man, I'm gonna have to check this out. Oh, and it takes place. It looks like it's an anthology film, short horror films, and so, maybe he only directed like one of them. Yeah, that might be what it is. Yeah, he directed the one called Halloween. They're all different holidays.
All
right. And then the last one was Yoga Hosers with his daughters in it.
Yeah, I'm gonna say lost on that one.
I think a lot of media did as well. It cost $5 million to make, and according to Wikipedia, it box office made $39,585.
Hey, no.
So that would be a loss. Yeah, a lot of early wins there, but I'm telling you, yep. Red State's good, and part of it, like, John Goodman might save the movie, too. Like, John Goodman is awesome in it. It's worth a watch. I'd give it a go. It might be on demand, or might be on Netflix or whatever, so give that one a pull.
All right.
All right, your turn.
Let's take a turn to the serious now. Frailty.
You the agent in charge of the case?
That's right. What can I do for you?
I'm here because I can't live with what I know anymore. Listen, this may sound a little bit crazy, but I know who the Godsend Killer is.
What makes you think that?
You hadn't even heard me out yet, and already you doubt me.
Now that, at the time, this movie came out in 2001, and this came in a bit of a lull in Matthew McConaughey's career.
Sure.
So he plays kind of the main guy in this movie. And this movie was actually stars and was directed by Bill Paxton.
I know. Not Bill Pullman, who I confuse with all the time, but Bill Paxton. Yeah.
Bill Paxton.
Yeah.
You might know him from such roles as Chet in the movie Weird Science, the older brother.
That's exactly who I was thinking.
Yeah.
Paxton, this was also his first, did you say his first movie ever directed?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe, yep.
Yep.
So it was his first movie, and this is one of those movies where you can't really give too much away.
Right.
You've seen this, right?
You know what? It was actually on my list as well. When I got yours, I scratched it off. But this was, I'm surprised we didn't do this one last year, because this is, this is a great hidden gem movie.
Yes, it is absolutely a hidden gem, and something that, like, I'm worried to talk too much about it because it's that good that we actually want you to see it.
No, that's a good point. And this is one, too, where, like, some of the things that happen, you're like, whoa, like that.
Yeah.
that's a reaction of me going, whoa, like that. It's
yeah.
Like, there is a little bit of a, well, you heard in the trailer there, there's a killer. There's this godsend killer. There's also some, time jumping. I think, like, you know, like, that's also part of it as well.
Yeah. Because Matthew McConaughey is telling this story as he's sitting in an FBI agent's office.
Yeah, so this is,
Yeah.
This says the plot, this is from Wikipedia. So the plot focuses on the strange relationship between two young boys and their fanatically religious father, who believes that he has been condemned by God to kill demons disguised as people.
Right.
I don't even know if that
obviously, in the movie, the father becomes more and more unhinged, and
there's
the relationship with the brothers and so on and so forth, but you don't, that's all I want to say.
Yes,
you have,
agreed.
If you're a horror movie fan, see it. That's all I'm going to say, because you're better off knowing nothing going into this.
Yeah, I think this actually might be the best one on our list. We have a few more to get to. Just like last year, Session 9. Like, it's like, oh, we gave you 12 movies, but if you had to see one, it was probably Session 9.
Yep.
Don't you think? And then this year, if you see one, I think Frailty is probably the one.
Agree.
And they came out in the same year. How about that?
How about that?
All right, so let's move on to the next one, a more recent horror movie. It's called It Follows.
Okay. You awake?
What are you doing?
You're not going to believe me, and I need you to remember what I'm saying.
This thing, it's going to follow you. Somebody gave it to me, and I passed it to you.
Wherever you are, it's somewhere walking straight for you. All you can do is pass it along to someone else.
All right, so this one, I think you or I or both of us mentioned during a pick of the podcast at some point over the last year. It came out in 2014, and I think there's been like a groundswell of it. Like, it was one that I didn't know when it was even coming out. Then all of a sudden, there was a handful of people like at work that were like, oh, have you seen It Follows? Like, you got to go see It Follows. I think you were another person that were like, you got to go see It Follows. So I watched it. Again, this one may also be on demand or maybe on Netflix. Like,
it was on Netflix for a while.
Was it? Yeah, so I definitely didn't pay for it, and I watched it. Now, it is a bit of a slow burn. Like, a lot of the movies that we discuss, I feel like we sort of hit you with a little bit of a slow burn, but a different idea, you know, to, like, basically, instead of getting, like, an STD from somebody, you now have someone following you, and they're going to follow you, and they want to kill you unless you pass it off to somebody else. And,
and
that's pretty much
it. That's talking about, you know, you can get into the deeper meaning of that being.
Right.
Whatever. But, like, I thought this was kind of a cool take. And I think I mentioned on the, like, it's, I'm going to say this right now. So if you guys are really into seeing, like, horror movies, it's worth the time, obviously. But understand that it's, like, to me, it was, like, 90% of a movie. Like, there's a little bit missing.
Yep.
So, like, what? And I only say that because I watched it again recently, and I can't give away too much for people who want to see it. Obviously, we are a spoiler free podcast. We try to be anyway.
Most of the time, unless we give you a warning. Yes.
Yeah, where they try to capture this monster.
Yes.
And it is the dumbest goddamn plan I have ever heard of in my life.
Yeah, I mean, you wonder though if, you know, I feel like we would have come up with a better plan, but maybe teenagers in that environment.
They were under
a great bit of stress. Now, I will say this, like, it made my list. I do think it's worth seeing, but it was another one of these movies that might have been hyped up a little bit to me.
Yeah.
And then I watched it and I was like, yeah, it was good. Like, it was like a B, you know, it was not like an A, but I do think it falls in that category of, you know, if you've seen all the big name horror movies, this may also have been one that you may have missed, and it's different. Like, I automatically give horror movies extra points for not being a remake, not being a sequel, not being a whatever they like a reimagining, like whatever. This was its own thing, and so I think it gets points for that. And it was, you know, it was interesting. So I thought it was deserving of being on the list.
It was the way it was shot was kind of cool, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's cool to look at, and
So
it's definitely worth your time, but not, like you said, it's not up there with Frailty or Funny Games or, you know,
right, The Descent,
horror art.
Yes,
you know.
What do you got?
Oh, so the next one this is the new one it's on Netflix now. If you want to watch this, a movie called Hush.
Yeah, there's not a lot of talking in the trailer, so I had
not
to pull.
Not a lot of talking in the trailer.
Well, you can imagine the whole movie. It's called Hush.
Which might be unnerving if you out of context. If you just heard that heavy breathing, that might. I promise you, it's not anything what you think it is. So, it's one of those movies where there's this girl and she's living in this secluded house and she's a writer. You know, see where I'm going with this?
I'm listening. It sounds like sounds like the beginning of a Stephen King thing.
Of course. So she's a writer. She's living in semi-seclusion in the woods. She has some close neighbors, and a random killer shows up at her house and just starts tormenting her. And here's the twist, Richard.
Yes?
She's deaf.
Son of a bitch.
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
So
that's, hence, you know, she doesn't say anything the whole movie.
She's a deaf writer?
She's a deaf writer.
And she's living by herself.
So, yeah, because the city was too noisy, I guess, so she's living in the middle of the woods?
No, that doesn't make sense.
But anyway, so this guy randomly shows up, and
he's got a mask on.
He's got a mask on. He's got the whole Michael Myers thing going, and he just torments her for, like, an entire night.
So when I saw the preview, because, again, I just watched the trailer of it. I haven't seen it yet. I was going to see what you said about it before I watched it on Netflix, and it seems like kind of like The Strangers, except according to the trailer, there's only one dude out there.
There's one dude. And, you know, what I like about this movie, Richard, is it's bare bones. You know, it doesn't mess around with things like, you know, plot or character development or anything like that. It just goes right into, like, okay, this girl's alone in the house. This guy shows up, tries to kill her. We don't know why.
Yeah.
Never explained.
Mm.
There's no motive.
Okay.
He's just going to try to mess with her.
Was this like a Netflix original, or was it someone?
Wait, Rich, I forgot to mention.
Yeah.
She's deaf.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Game changer.
Yeah. Makes the whole movie more suspenseful, doesn't it? You can't call for help.
Well, you could.
You could.
You could call for help.
No one would understand.
You wouldn't be able to answer a call for help, but yourself could call for help.
Yeah.
It might be a hard pass on my end.
No,
it's good.
I'm giving it a hard time. It's actually pretty good. I'm giving it a hard time.
Is it better than It Follows?
About the same.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll give it a shot. All right. This next one. Yeah. Go ahead.
Tough sell. But you know what? It's actually pretty good.
I thought you were gonna give me something a little bit more.
Yeah.
No. All right. This next one is from one of the biggest horror movie franchises in the history of horror movie franchises. But maybe you're not into sequels, and I don't blame you. Like, in any time there's a horror franchise that has 10 movies, you probably didn't watch all 10, even if you liked a couple of them. So this one, I think, is worth going back and watching. That'd be A Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors. Yeah, it's a lot of Patricia Arquette screaming, but... Now, if you liked A Nightmare on Elm Street, the first one, which I think most horror movie fans did like, the second one, you have no Nancy, like no Heather Langenkamp. Yeah, they're in her house. Yeah, they find her diary. But, like, the actress, the character, is not in the movie at all. And I think that's a tough thing. Like, if you get attached to a horror movie character, and then they make a sequel just because of the name, and then they're not in it. Like, it's a hard time liking that one. Like, Nightmare on Elm Street 2 sucks. But 3 actually is a story to me that makes more sense. Like, now Nancy's grown up. She's working in, like, this hospital, and she's talking to kids that have also seen Freddy. So, like, it makes sense. If you like the first one, but then you're like, you only heard bad things about the rest of them, I would watch this one. Also, New Nightmare, which was the only other one that Wes Craven directed. That one's good, too, and it also involves Heather Langenkamp and Nancy. So, again, this one may not, you know, maybe you did see it because it's such a big-name movie, but It's the third one, kind of can easily get lost in the shuffle. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, and one of the things that it has probably the greatest horror movie theme song I think I've ever heard. I probably don't have a clip for it, but the theme song, the Dream Warriors song, is unbelievable. If you're into like cheesy 80s hair metal. I forget who does it.
Let me see.
Come to me. It'll come to me like when we're wrapping up the podcast. I'm just going to shout. Oh, it's Dokken. That's who it is. Dokken.
Let's see.
I'm almost positive it's Dokken.
All right. Let's see.
Come on, dead air.
Is it? No. Let's see. Is it?
Here we go. Yeah.
Don't go to sleep. Oh, don't go to sleep.
Yeah,
is he going to start singing?
Am I?
No, it's
Yeah. Yeah. How many listeners or subscribers did we just lose listening to Dokken on the podcast?
Half? Whatever the number is it half? I'll tell you what, though. If you're wondering, that movie came out in 1987, so that was right in their wheelhouse. Wow, good memory there on that one, too. I haven't watched this movie in a while. That was Dokken.
Oh, yes. I can go to sleep tonight.
Good. All right, let's move along. I think we've spent enough time on Nightmare 3.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the next movie I have is The Hallow.
He's trespassing. It's dangerous for him.
They believe that the forest that you're trampling on belongs to the Hallow.
The Hallow.
Fairies, banshees, baby stealers.
So you a believer?
Mr. Hitchens, this is in London. Things here go bumping at night.
It's just baby dreams.
Whoa.
Hey now.
Hey.
So this movie centers around a family from London who just moved to a rural part of Ireland to study the flora and fauna of the forest. And the townspeople, it kind of comes like right in. As soon as you turn the movie on, they're like, these townspeople are bitching at these, London people. They're like, don't take the iron off the windows. Like, I need to talk to your husband.
Okay.
The forest is cursed. And what you find is that they are absolutely correct. There are these woodland-type little monsters out there.
All right.
Who are baby stealers.
The baby stealers.
Yeah, so these people are trying to protect their house, and the monsters are trying to get in. And it's kind of like a cool take on, like, the old monster movies, I don't want to say Chud, but like those little monster movies, what I mean?
That'll sell people. It's a lot like Chud.
No, it's not, but it's kind of like a love letter to those types of movies where you have like these nondescript like monsters like out in the woods, what I mean, who are like trying to get you. And it's cool because sometimes in the shots, like, you'll see them like in the background.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So they're just like always there, so it's actually kind of cool. And it was the directorial debut of a kid named Corin Hardy. This is his first movie. It's on Netflix right now. It's definitely worth a watch if you're into just like straight up horror movies.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I think one, when I was looking at him and I realized it was on Netflix, I'm going to watch this, I think, before I watch Hush.
Yes. Watch this before you watch
this
Hush.
This is better.
Yeah.
Nice.
And it's one of those movies where you get like halfway through and you're like, you almost think it's over. And you're like, how the hell is there still 40 minutes left in this movie? And then actually it gets more intense as it goes. So
oh,
you
no
think
kidding.
There's like a lull, but it actually gets more intense.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm in on that. And people are probably wondering, what about Chud? That, of course, would be a cannibalistic humanoid underground dweller.
Yeah, they come up through the toilet. Was it them or Ghoulies who came up through the toilet? I don't remember.
I don't remember either, but I did remember watching the film forever ago. Another one for me is, it might even be more of a comedy than a horror, but the reason I put it on the list is it's Rob Zombie directed this movie. It's an animated movie. It involves some of the characters from House of a Thousand Corpses and Devil's Rejects, even though it's not really, you know, it involves Dr. Satan, Captain Spaulding's in it, Otis Driftwood's in it, and it's a 2009 movie called The Haunted World of El Super Bisto, and he even has a theme song.
Left upon the dark and Sarah, baby thick with body hair, a wrestling family heard the cries and learned him how to murder eyes. He soon grew up and up and up, and now this not so little pup had found a knack for pounding guts while pounding goons and pounding sluts. Assholes, better watch your ass, here comes a mangler with a mask.
And I have heard he wanted to be a friend or hero than either I'd be.
Jam him, jam him, lock him, clock him.
So this movie is ridiculous. Now, Tom Papa, who is a stand-up comedian, he wrote this movie with Rob Zombie, and he's also the voice of El Super Bisto. There's a ridiculous cast, too. Like, obviously, Rob Zombie's wife's in it. Paul Giamatti is a couple of voices. Rosario Dawson, who I love more and more, by the way. She's amazing. She's in this. Brian Posehn, who was in Devil's Rejects, he's in this. A lot of the other guys that he works with a lot. Pop up Danny Trejo, Sid Haig, and other guys from Devil's Rejects. So it's more funny than it is scary, but because it's that world, it's, you know, Dr. Satan's the villain, I thought I would include it in this. Like, it's ridiculous. You're probably either going to love it and laugh a lot, or you're going to hate it and think it's the worst. It's one of those two. I happen to be in the former.
You're in the former, so you think this is worth people's time?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
I believe the runtime is 77 minutes.
Perfect.
So even if you hate it, I didn't waste 2 hours of your time. I wasted just over an hour. So give it a shot. I also have a couple of other movies here, Davey. One of them I mentioned on the podcast recently. The reason why it might be one of the best movies that you haven't seen is because it's been out for less than a month. I saw it in theaters. That would be Don't Breathe.
Guys, money's probably in there.
Who's there?
Stay right there.
How many of you are there?
Just me, man. All right? Just let me go, please. Okay, I swear to God.
So this movie was great and also different than a lot of other horror movies. You heard there in the trailer, three, I guess, probably 20s. I don't think they're late teens. Let's call them 20s. But the three younger people, two dudes and a girl, they kind of break into houses. So it's interesting because right away you think, all right, well, these are the people you're supposed to be rooting for, but they're like, they're breaking into houses. So why would I root for them at all? So like, that's also kind of different. They give you their reasons kind of why they need money. But even still, you're like, the thieves. Like, I'm not really rooting for thieves. Then they break into this guy's house. The twist here, like in Hush, where she was deaf, this guy, blind. So he's blind.
No.
Yes, blind. And so he shoots. So you see in the trailer, like, I don't know if it, I feel like it's kind of a spoiler, but it kind of got me hooked, so I guess it made sense. But you hear that he gets the one guy, and he's like, how many are there? And he's like, it's just me. So then he shoots him. So then the majority of the rest of the movie is those two attempting to get the hell out of there. But they also know that he has a lot of money in the house for some reason, which they also get into. But great movie. One of the better horror movies I've seen in a while.
And the guy's blind?
Blind, you say? No, but I thought it was a good twist, because a lot of times there's been movies where they're running from a monster that might be blind or might have some sort of thing, but it's never a person.
Right.
And so this was kind of wild.
What if he was deaf?
What if he was blind and deaf?
Oh
my God. How's his sense of smell?
Oh, superb.
It's off the charts?
Yeah.
And they'd probably have a hard time. They wouldn't be able to hide.
Yeah.
If you have a great sense of smell, I assume you also have a pretty good sense of taste, because I think those two work together.
They do, hand in hand.
They're two of the best.
Yeah, two of the best.
Now, this last one, I have not seen. I don't know if you've seen this one.
I have not, but this is, like you, this is a movie that has been recommended to me on more than one occasion.
Several times. So two former co-hosts of Hashtag Dork, Rich Schertenlieb from the Tusher and Rich program, and Hardy, have both told me, they're like, you got to see this movie. Like, knowing that I like horror movies, they both have seen this one recently. I think you can get it on demand right now, but you have to pay for it. And I haven't done that yet, but I think I might have to, because everyone's saying it's great. It's called Green Room.
You can't keep us here, and you gotta let us go.
We're not keeping you. You're just staying.
We're so fucking dead, guys.
What do we do? Oh, shit.
This will be over soon, gentlemen.
So there's a little taste of that. Similar to Don't Breathe, in a sense, where it's people kind of being trapped against their will a little bit. But this one's new. I think it came out, was it last year? But now everybody's seeing this one all of a sudden. But it's like a punk band, and they're like playing at like this, you know, a place where a punk band would play. But then there's all these like neo-Nazis there in a bar, and they basically like trap them in. Like that's the sense that I've gotten from it.
You hate to see it.
Well, no, it's not ideal to get, you know, trapped by neo-Nazi skinheads. but, you know, it's a thing. But everybody said it's great. So, again, it's called Green Room. So that's on my list.
All right. Well, I got one more for you, and I'm throwing a curveball at you because I didn't mention this before, but I figured I'm going to make this my thing.
No, that's fine. We just won't have sound unless you want me to whip it up.
No, we don't have sound. It's fine, because this movie, you can actually, I just found it, you can actually find it on YouTube.
Oh, YouTube.com. You can stream it on YouTube.com.
Yeah. It was a movie that my mom used to work at a movie store when I was a little kid. Like, that was like her part-time job other than taking care of three kids. She worked weekends at a movie rental place.
Mm-hmm, I gotcha.
And she brought home this movie, and let me set this up for you. It stars Sean Astin.
Oh.
And it is, this is after The Goonies, after Whitewater Summer. And he did this movie called The Willies in 1990.
Come on.
It's awesome. It's one of those movies where, like, they're telling this story. They're telling like campfire stories, and they're like cuts away, and they're like, you know what I mean? There's like these little vignettes, kind of like VHS or kind of like that.
The Willies.
Kevin Smith. Yeah. And here's the kicker. If you guys really, I'm into like bad horror movies. Like I think they're hilarious.
Yeah. And there are a lot of them. I know last year, I think you mentioned what, like Troll 2.
Troll 2. Yeah. Like I love these movies. Necronomicon, Book of the Dead, which is
nice.
Yeah.
The Night Flyer.
That's the name of the movie. The Night Flyer. This movie, I'm gonna. Here's the sell right here. There is a vignette starring the premise is a young boy tampers with flies. He kills flies and he has an obsession with making like models out of them.
Okay.
And his name is Gordy Belcher.
Okay.
Guess who it's played by?
Gordy Belcher.
None other than Salute Your Shorts' own Donkey Lips. Donkey Lips is in the movie. So if that's not a sell, if you don't want to go out and see The Willies on YouTube right now, I know you're listening and everyone's going to come and tell me how awesome The Willies was.
The Willies.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can let them know at @rvonD, or you can tweet us at Dork Podcast if you watched or have seen The Willies.
I'm actually going to tweet out the link on YouTube to watch The Willies, and I want to see how many people watch it.
The movie has received generally negative reviews over the years. The review website Rotten Tomatoes, there are no critical reviews, but the film carries a blank audience score. What do you think?
I think, I'm telling you, my mother, I don't know where she picked this thing up, but it was like, it's fascinating.
No,
bad.
No, guess. Yeah, I have the audience score from 1 to 0, 1 to 100%, what do you think it is?
Oh, like 20s?
Yeah, 24.
Because there's people like me who, like, will watch this and be like, this is amazing. You know what I mean?
It looks like Doug Benson was in it. I just pulled it up.
Yeah.
He has, like, a small role or something in it.
Yeah, small role. Kirk Cameron makes a cameo appearance.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Tracy
something else.
Tracy Gold is in it?
Excuse me?
Tracy Gold is also in it.
Oh, yeah, because there's, like, a little thing where, like, they're watching Growing Pains, and the characters turn to Gordy Belcher and make fun of him.
We also got a tweet from R2D2, who we've mentioned before on the podcast, one of our good emailers. He tweeted us, at Dork Podcast. You can also use the hashtag all this month, hashtag Dorktober. And he says, if you guys haven't made your horror movie list yet, here are ones he would recommend. It Follows, which was on our list.
Yep.
Home Movie. Have you seen that?
I have not.
I've not seen that either. I've heard of it. Let me pull that up here. What are we looking at here? Home Movie. 2008 movie, documents one family's descent into darkness through compilation of the Poe family's homemade video footage.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
A little found footage action.
He also has Sinister on the list, which I really enjoyed Sinister. I didn't put it on.
The WWE movie with...
No.
Did they make that?
The WWE movie?
No, who was the one with Kane was in?
That's called See No Evil.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
sorry.
I saw that, and that was not a great movie. But See No Evil. This is Sinister, which, here's a fun fact. Scott Derrickson is the director, who is also the director of Doctor Strange, which is coming out in November.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know which one this is now.
Yeah, Ethan Hawke is in it.
Yep.
It's crazy. Like, I didn't put it on the list because I thought maybe enough people had seen it. Like, one of the things I did was I was looking at IMDb, and just to see how many votes were cast, you know, like, for each movie. And so, like, I feel like a lot of people have seen Sinister because it was in the movies, but I think it's a great recommendation. I think they've even made a sequel, which I've not seen, but this was messed up. Like, this is legit scary. Like, some of these other movies are like, oh, like, they're interesting. And like, oh, that's kind of another thought. Like, this one's like, you kind of sit up after you watch it, and you're like, that's kind of scary.
Like the first time you saw The Ring?
Yeah, oh my God. The Ring is terrifying. He also has on the list VHS 1 and 2.
Yep.
Those are good. They're on Netflix, I think, both of them.
Yeah, those are good.
Okay. And then he also had Stakeland.
Oh, I've seen Stakeland.
Stake, like, you know, something to kill a vampire with, not like you would eat.
Yeah.
So I assume,
like,
it's a vampire.
Yeah.
Right? Vampire horror movie?
Yes. But kind of like a post-apocalyptic. It's like if Mad Max and a vampire movie had a baby, it would be this.
Oh, snap. Oh, and Danielle Harris is in it, who I love.
Yes.
That was, of course, the little girl from Halloween 4 and 5.
Yes, and she plays a pregnant teenager, despite the fact that she's, like, 40.
Oh, she's older than us, yeah.
Yeah, but she looks like she's 12.
Yeah, no, she does look insanely young. That's true.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll add that to my list, so thank you very much, R2-D2.
Yeah. Yep.
Anything else you got up your sleeve for that?
I had something, I forgot it.
That's all right.
If we're being honest with each other, I had another, like, one more, and then I forgot it.
Well,
so
you can
come to me.
Bring it back another time. You know what it's time now for is the pick of the podcast. And how about this, Davey? It's brought to you by our pick for local craft beer, Idle Hands. Check them out on Twitter, at Idle Hands Beer. You can go to their website, idlehandscraftales.com. They're also at 89 Commercial Street in Malden. So if you're in the Boston area, you're looking for some good local craft beer, check out the fine folks at Idle Hands. I had their IPA, their change-up recently, which is tremendous. I'm looking forward to drinking their Oktoberfest called Brocktoberfest when I get out of here. And so check out Idle Hands.
Wait. What just happened?
We just had a pick of the podcast is now brought to you by our pick for local craft beer.
So we have a sponsor? We're no longer commercial-free?
Well, we have two. Did you miss the Mac and Goo? You want me to play the Mac and Goo one again?
Nope, I put it out of my mind, but we have sponsors now.
Here it is.
No longer.
Hello, boys and ghouls. I hope you're ready.
Sorry.
No, yeah, dude, I wanted him to hear him say macabre.
we have a couple of sponsors. How about that?
Yeah, we're making our way in the world. I expect a T-shirt from those people.
It's people helping people is what it's been to this point.
That's what it is.
So there you go. What's your pick of the podcast, sir?
My pick of the podcast. You know, it's funny. I didn't really have one this week. I don't have a pick of the podcast.
I'm unprepared for class.
I am unprepared for class.
That's fine, because technically the whole episode was picks.
Yeah, so I feel like this whole thing was a pick of the podcast.
I don't blame you. Listen, we have a sponsor now. We can't put it off. But the entire thing was basically a pick of the podcast. You gave us like 8 of them. So
yeah,
it could be the Willies. Just double down on the Willies.
The Willies. The Willies is my pick of the podcast.
My pick of the podcast is going to be a graphic novel called Severed by Scott Snyder, who's one of my favorite writers. He did American Vampire, which we both loved. He did the new 52 Batman. He's doing All-Star Batman. He's done a whole bunch of other stuff. And Severed, to steal a term from earlier, it's a slower burn, but it is pretty cool. It's a quick read, but you know, the action it takes a little bit to get into. But if you're looking for a horror genre graphic novel for this month, I would check out Severed.
Oh, I got one. Now I got one, since you've inspired me.
You son of a bitch. Macabre.
It's another graphic novel dealing with the macabre. It's a series called Nailbiter.
Ooh, I've heard of this, I've not read it.
Yep. So basically the story is there's a small town in the Pacific Northwest that has raised something like 14 serial killers.
Jesus.
And yeah, so they're all been put away, or they've been, you know, or have died, or so on and so forth, and then one of them actually comes back.
Got it.
So it's actually, well, they think one of them comes back. I'm not going to spoil too much, but there's a, you know, some cop is looking for his partner, and he's out in the Pacific Northwest, and this guy was researching why all of these serial killers come from this one small town.
Hmm.
It's actually pretty good.
Is it one that's like, is it like a one or two volumes, or is it like still ongoing?
It's multiple volumes.
Okay. But is it done, or do you know if it's still going?
I don't know. I haven't gotten that far yet, but it's
I gotcha.
Could keep going.
All right, Nailbiter. You know? Good one.
Yep.
Nice.
And I believe that I'm looking it up right now. I believe the Nope.
Uh-huh.
Never mind. I think the movie rights have been bought for this.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, so I think it might be coming as a movie, but it's actually very cool. So if you want to check that out.
Oh, very good.
It's written by Joshua Williamson and Mike Henderson. Yeah, I'm like looking at it in my hand right now. So.
Henderson. His name is Mile Henderson. It's like it's Mike Henderson. Like, yeah. Well, either way.
Whatever, right. It's fine. There are 4 volumes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
All right, David, it's time now to preview future episodes of Hashtag Dork, and that is brought to you by... No, I'm kidding.
Us.
Hashtag Dork.
And you know what? Whoever's listening out there, it could be you.
It could be you.
I'm looking at people I've put out feelers for.
Yeah.
Looking at you, Samurai Bear Collectibles.
What are you giving them? You giving them a free one?
That's the first one's always free.
Everybody gets one.
Yeah. Rise in the East clothing. You see where I'm working.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Because how about this? We can have the episode itself can be sponsored. There can be a pre-sponsor. This Week in Dork and Pick of the Podcast are spoken for, but the preview, that could be something else. And you know what? We'll even create a goddamn segment for you if that's what you want.
Let's do it.
We have no problem. Just everything is just 30-second things sponsored by things.
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, this is going to be a little peek behind the curtain here on Hashtag Dork. We don't have next week's episode or the rest of Dorktober officially figured out. What jumps out at you? What meets your fancy or strikes your fancy? Whatever.
Of future podcasts?
Now, here's some of my ideas. There's obviously Luke Cage, which we're definitely going to get to. It's only a matter of time.
And then we had my idea.
Yes.
Which was you and I do a rundown of every Stephen King adapted film that we've seen.
And kind of yay or nay it.
And yay or nay it, and kind of give you a little our thoughts on it. And I will tell anyone who's listening this that you have no idea just how many Stephen King book movies there are until you actually look. It's like there's like 20 movies.
Oh, you're 100% right, because when you first said that, I'm like, yeah, it'd be a good idea, but
there's only like
10.
4, and then you start thinking about it, and then you look at the IMDb page.
Son of a bitch. Yep, like that's one, that's one, that's one. Oh, by the way, Stephen King co-wrote the first volume of American Vampire with Scott Snyder, just to tie
which
that
is unbelievable.
Which is amazing. Yeah, tie that all together.
So, he also wrote the book Thinner, which that we mentioned earlier in the podcast, and what a piece of dung that movie was.
Yeah, that's true. That would be a nay if we yay nayed it.
Spoiler.
Stephen King's...
Give you a little preview for that one.
His son, was it Joe Hill, Stephen King's
Joe
son?
Joe Hill, yeah.
Wrote Lock and Key, which I've not read yet. But that looks
He also wrote
good.
One of my favorite horror novels ever called Heart-Shaped Box.
Oh, nice.
It's unreal. It's so good.
So
and I'm going to say this right now, I'm going to sound like a huge nerd, but it's one of the best audiobooks I've ever listened to.
Oh.
If you're into audiobooks, listen to Heart-Shaped Box by Joe Hill. The guy who narrates it, it's unreal. He does voices and everything. It's great.
All right. I like it. So Stephen King is one choice. I was thinking best horror franchise, where we go through all the horror movies that have basically, I would say three or more would kind of mean a franchise.
Yep.
We could break that down. Goo gave us a really good idea about a Batman TV show pitch. And the reason why it would make sense for this month to do it is we both loved the graphic novel The Long Halloween.
Yeah.
And we could sort of cast it and explain how that would be a great show.
I'm all over that. I've already started that. I'm so excited.
So,
in my head, I've already started that.
I don't know. So maybe we gotta think about it. But I think the next episode will be one of those. And again, if you're listening to this, you can tweet us or email us if any of those jump out at you more so than any of the others. And we'll try to hit you with that. Anything else? Oh, the blog? You can check out the blog, dorkpodcast.blogspot.com. Trying to keep it updated with different trailers and movie and TV news, and also a place to stream these episodes, horror movie of the day, other kinds of nonsense, at Dork Podcast on the Twitter, dorkpodcast@gmail.com. And, of course, we're on iTunes and Google Play. You can subscribe. You can rate. You can comment. You can do all that stuff. Davey, where can they find you?
You can find me at RVonD on the Twitter machine. Or on the old PlayStation at and Sandman Slim 603. If you want to come jump and play some, get on our Overwatch team.
Nice.
We're having open tryouts.
We need to get back to a little bit of Overwatch. Are you twitching at all still?
I'm trying to. I got a new setup, so I'm trying to work out some kinks a little bit. But
all right.
I'm still on Twitch as Arvon D. So you can find me on Twitch there as well. What else we got?
I think that's it. That's all I got.
Well, I got one more thing. I got a plea.
Yeah.
As I always do, you know, I talk to the youth. You know, I get down on the knee and I talk to them on their level.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I want to say right now, if you're one of these kids who's walking around the woods in secluded areas in a clown suit, just knock off that monkey business.
Jesus
Nobody
Christ.
Needs that.
No, my God.
These news stories with the kids in the clown suits, this is not what you want to do with your life. This is not what you want to be doing when Jesus comes back.
My natural reaction would be either be to run or to kill the clown. So,
yeah.
And then I'd be in manslaughter. There'd be no more podcasts. Like I have a fear of clowns. I don't know what these people are doing, but it's for the birds.
And I'm going to tell you this right now. There is not a jury on this earth that would convict you for killing a clown who came out of the woods at you.
That's true.
Nobody.
That's a good point.
So I'm asking the kids, you know, if you got the clown suit and you're doing the things, you know, it's not funny.
No one's laughing.
You're just hurting yourself.
Yeah. All right. Ryan, I think we'll say goodbye on this note.